Good to be back with you this morning. Just thinking yesterday when I heard the weather report on the radio and they were saying light snow, I thought of the last time we were here, like in February, when it started snowing in the afternoon and snowed and snowed and snowed and snowed and didn't seem like it was ever going to stop. But this morning the weather forecast, I think they changed that and aren't predicting snow, so we're happy to be with you today. If you have your Bible, let's turn to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. Beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Now, Father, we just thank you again this morning for the precious privilege we have of getting together on the first day of the week to look into thy word. We just thank you, Father, for the truth we find in it on every single page. Now, as we open it this morning, we just ask that thou just lead, guide, and direct that everything is said and done might be just to honor and glorify thee. We pray that there be someone here today who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they might accept him before it's eternally too late. And so we just give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You see this psalm that David wrote, and he starts off by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. To begin, we might want to think about a shepherd and a sheep, because this is really what the psalm is dealing with. David is placing the Lord in the place of the shepherd, and he's taking the place of the sheep. But a shepherd has characteristics, and sheep have characteristics. And we might just look to begin with a few of the characteristics that we would find in a shepherd. And in order to look at some of these, we might turn back to the 10th chapter of the book of John. This is, I think, the 23rd Psalm is the shepherd chapter of the Old Testament. The 10th chapter of John is the shepherd chapter of the New Testament. But in verse 3 of John chapter 10, we see the first characteristic of a shepherd. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. A characteristic of a good shepherd, first, is that he leads. You know, cattle, we're told, are driven, but sheep have to be led. They can't be driven. So the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is our good shepherd, and he leads us. He leads us day by day as we're willing to yield our lives to him. But more importantly, he leads us by the example that he set down for us in his word. Like in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, we're told, in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in Christ as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So his example that he's given us is obedience. Obedience to the will of the Father. And a sheep is obedience to the shepherd. And this morning, this is a characteristic that I believe the Lord wants to see of us as believers, that we're obedient to his will. You know, he has a will for each and every one of us as believers. He has a will for every Christian. He wants to find every one of us obedient to the will that he has for us. Not only does a shepherd lead, but a shepherd also in John chapter 10, in verse 4, you see that a shepherd is recognized. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now you could have a strange person go out and call the sheep, and they would ignore him completely. But when the shepherd calls, they recognize his voice. Sheep won't just follow anyone, but they will follow the shepherd. And this reminds me of the fact that one day, we were lost in sin. We were on our way to a crisis eternity, and all of a sudden we heard that call. That call that to those who are lost, we realized that we were sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We realized that the wages of sin was death. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We recognize the call of the true shepherd. You know, there are a lot of people going around today with calls trying to win people to their side. I'm not sure what they say at the last count it is, but there are just hundreds and hundreds of false cults here in the United States. But it's only when a person comes to that point in their life and they realize that there's only one way to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize that call and accept Him as their own personal Savior. You know, we trust that everyone here this morning knows the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If there could be someone today who's never trusted in Him, and this morning could be the day when you would hear that call and would heed it and would listen to it and respond to the One who loved you and gave Himself for you. And so there came a time in our lives, for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, when we recognize the shepherd. And not only do we recognize the shepherd, but we also see another characteristic of the shepherd. We can see in John chapter 10, verse 14. It says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Not only do we recognize the shepherd, but the shepherd recognizes us. It's wonderful thought to know this morning that the good shepherd recognizes us. There's no mistake. You know, I was told that a shepherd can go out into a group of sheep, and maybe there'll be sheep there from two or three different flocks. And some way, that shepherd knows his sheep and the other man's sheep. He can pick his sheep out. And isn't it wonderful to know that of all the millions of people on the earth, that the great shepherd knows everyone that are his. He knows us this morning. Think about back in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were getting ready to be led out of Egypt, and he told them, now put the blood on the doorpost. And when I pass over, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. There was no mistake that night. He didn't happen to miss some of the blood, but when he saw the blood, he passed over that house. And so this morning, we're secure in the fact that when he looks at us, he sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows us. Just as we recognize him, so he recognizes us. But also, that goes even farther, because not only does he know us, but he knows about us. As believers, it should call us to think in our lives day by day, in all of our actions, in all of our deeds, in all of our thoughts, because he knows the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. He knows everything about us. Not only that we believe in him, he knows everything that we're doing, every thought that we think, and how it should cause us to want to keep ourselves close to him day by day. And yet, maybe there's someone that, again, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been pretending like you do, maybe you grew up in a Christian home, and well, I've gone to church all my life, well, this will probably make me saved. Well, it doesn't. And he knows. We can't hide it from him. You know, someone once said that just because a cat was born in the garage, it didn't make it an automobile. And just because we've been born or raised in a Christian home, it doesn't make us a Christian. We have to come to that place where we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And so this morning, he knows those of us who believe in him. He knows our thoughts and our actions. And those that don't know him, he knows whether you're his or not. And so the shepherd recognizes his sheep. And then again in John chapter 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd provides. And what a wonderful provision we see here. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Through that gracious provision there at Calvary, we have salvation. we have eternal life. There was no way whatsoever that we could gain salvation on our own. The scripture says that all of our righteousness was filthy rags. Nothing was good in us. But He saw us lost in our sinful state. He loved us. He came down here to this earth and went to the cross and died there for our sins. And so He makes the complete provision there at Calvary. We don't have to add anything. It's only simply trusting in Him. And those of us that know Him this morning have that wonderful grace that He provides. And then He not only provides for us, but if we look down to 27 and 28 of that chapter, you see another characteristic of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The shepherd protects. You know, a good shepherd will go out in the Old Testament times, and they would have the sheepfold, and many times there wouldn't be any kind of a door in the sheepfold. The shepherd would lay down across the front of the fold and protect the sheep from all intruders, whether it be wolves or bears or robbers. The shepherd would lay down and protect the sheep, willing to give his life for the protection of the sheep. David mentions about killing a bear. He mentions about killing a lion to protect the sheep. And the good shepherd protects the sheep. What security we have. In Hebrews it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Our security is not a possibility. He says, I give unto them eternal life. Not I give unto them a conditional life. Not until I give unto them a possibility of eternal life, but I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. And never means never, ever, ever. It's a very definite word. They shall never perish. And even back in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 35. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? He gives a long list, and after each one of these things, we could put a no. If it's a tribulation, of course, it's asking for an answer. We could say, no, none of these things can separate us. He comes on down to verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I've had people tell me, well, of course nobody can pluck you out of God's hand, but you can pluck yourself out. You can do something yourself to lose your security. But here in verse 39 it says, nor any other creation, and every creation, that ain't any other creation includes me. So there's nothing that can separate me from that security of the shepherd. What a wonderful shepherd we have this morning, one who leads us, one who protects us and provides for us. And these are just a few of the characteristics of the good shepherd. We could go on and on and on if we think about characteristics of the shepherd. This is just a few we want to think about as we look at this 23rd Psalm. Then not only do we see some characteristics of the shepherd, we want to look at a couple of the characteristics we find in the sheep. And the first characteristic I want to think about as far as the sheep are concerned is not one of too good of a characteristic, but it's one that could be found among most sheep. In Isaiah 53:6, we read that all we like sheep have gone astray. It seems to be almost a natural thing for sheep to want to stray away. And in straying, the sheep can run into any number of things. Sheep can meet enemies. The sheep would stray away from the shepherd. It might come upon a lion or a wolf. And these enemies could do much damage to the sheep. And, you know, back in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we're told that Satan goes about like a roaring lion. Oh, how important it is for us as Christians not to stray from beside the shepherd, but to stay as close to him as possible. Because Satan goes forth like a roaring lion. He'd like to ruin our life, ruin our testimony. If we think of his vision, it says, stand in the Lord and in the power of his might. We don't have to stand in ourselves. We don't have to fend off the enemy. We have a shepherd who will protect us as we stay close to him. Then the sheep can stray away and maybe become entangling things. They go out and get into a thorn bush or get into a briar bush or some thistles, and they can get all caught up in these things. As they struggle to get loose, these briars, these thorns and thistles can begin to rip at the sheep's skin and to tear it and tear it. And I think this maybe speaks to us of sin. Things that can begin to, if a Christian doesn't live his life close to the Lord, can begin to eat away and tear at our testimony, at our fellowship with the Lord. But you know, again, we have a shepherd who's there to watch over us and protect us. And back in Romans chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, he says, neither yield to your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. As we encounter these things, as we keep ourselves close to the shepherd, we don't have to worry about the thorns and thistles of sin, because it says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And then the third thing that a sheep can get into as it strays is snares. And this is a more subtle danger to the sheep, because the lions and the bears, they see the sheep are afraid of. They get into the thistles, they're afraid of these. But sometimes they'll go out and they'll see old, beautiful flowers, lush vegetation, not knowing that maybe it's a poisonous plant. Not knowing that behind these beautiful flowers are briars. And so unknowingly the sheep will be caught in these snares. And how we as believers need to be so careful, because these things are the secrets of the entanglement of this world. It's so easy to be entangled in this world. When it comes to standing against Satan, of course we want to stand against him and against his wiles. When it comes to sin, we don't want to have these things in our lives. We want to keep our lives clean before the Lord. But a lot of times, these little snares, these things that have an outward beauty to them, we easily become entangled in. Whether it be job, whether it be friends, whether it be the pleasures of this world, or the affairs of this world, we become entangled in these things. Back in Romans chapter 12, it gives us the key to keeping ourselves even close to the shepherd in this situation. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yield to him. Yield to the shepherd. And these snares we won't become entangled in. And so we need to be careful that as we go about in our lives, that we don't stray away from the shepherd as sheep are accustomed to doing. Then other things that we find in connection with the sheep, again, as we think of John chapter 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice. And a sheep needs to hear the voice of the shepherd. It needs to hear him calling. As the shepherd calls, the sheep hears the one, the true shepherd's voice, and responds to it. And that's another characteristic of the sheep. They respond. They respond to the shepherd alone. We're told about the hireling. And the hireling was just wanting to work with the sheep in order to earn some money. He didn't care about the sheep. Would the sheep respond to the hireling? No. It's only the true shepherd that the sheep will respond to. And then the sheep will follow. This is one of the most wonderful characteristics of sheep, that they will follow the shepherd. And how this morning we need to be willing to follow the good shepherd. He leads, and we follow. You think about a person that's driving cattle. He puts the cattle in front of him, and he drives them and drives them. But the shepherd goes before and leads the sheep. And so we as sheep need to follow. Many times, as believers, we need to be conditioned to follow the shepherd. You know, we just don't naturally start following. There are times in our lives when we want to go back and go astray. But as we look to the basics of the Word of God, we can follow the shepherd day by day. Studying His Word, prayer, witnessing, how important these things are in the lives of the Christian. You know, it's so easy to be caught up in extraneous things, to be caught up in things that don't really mean anything, and to put these basics aside. You know, I was watching an interview on television some time ago. They were talking about Little League Baseball, and they were comparing the fact that it seems like Taiwan seems to win the Little League World Series almost every year. And this person was questioning how they did this. It sort of makes a lot of people angry that this group comes in and wins it every year. But this person was bringing out the difference, he said, in the baseball program in Taiwan and that in the United States. He says, now in the United States, in our Little League program, we're trying to train big league ball players. We teach them how to slide and how to stand at the plate and how to do all these things like the big leaguers do. And yet over in Taiwan, they start out by teaching their little league players the very basics. Much of their time is spent on just physical training. Instead of how to bat and everything, they spend a lot of time just on physical training. And then they teach them just the basics of fielding and batting. They emphasize these basics, and every time it seems like they come up and win. And for us as believers, I believe it carries an important lesson, how we need to emphasize these basics. The Word of God. We see a lot of plans today, read the Bible through in a year, read the Bible through it 3 times a year. And certainly we're not going to knock that because reading the Bible is important. But if all we ever did was just read the Bible through once a year, how close do we be to the shepherd? It's so important that we have study of God's Word. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We could read the Bible through 10 times a year, and still, if we didn't have that time of study, we would not get very much from it. Prayer. How we need to have a close prayer time with the Lord. How we need to take everything to Him in prayer. Not just when a big trouble comes, but the everyday little things of life need to be taken before Him. We were down in Waynesboro last Saturday night, I believe it was, and for the concert that David and Ruth Logan and Beverly Rester put on. And David was just sharing there during one of their songs about how his father, whenever someone would bring an item up to him for prayer, instead of waiting till the end of the day and lumping all these things together and praying for him, he'd say, okay, well, let's take that to the Lord right now. And how important a thing it could be for us as believers, that everything that comes up during the day, we could take it to the Lord. The little unpleasantness, the little irritations that we have. You know, if we let these little irritations go, by the end of the day, a little irritation can become a big irritation. If we just took it right to the Lord directly in prayer at that time, how much better we would find it. And so, witnessing, prayer and study are important things in following the Lord. And so these are a few of the characteristics that we find in the shepherd and the sheep. And then David begins the psalm by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't believe it's an accident that David chose this aspect in the psalm. David could was a general. He could have chosen that maybe for the psalm and said, well, the Lord is my general and I'm just a private. Or he was a king, the Lord is a king, and I'm his subject. It's because I believe that the shepherd and the sheep aspect is one of the most likeliest things that can show us the relationship between the Christian and the Lord. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. As sheep, we're dependent. A sheep is totally dependent upon the shepherd. It's dependent upon the shepherd for food. It's dependent upon the shepherd for shelter. And how this pictures us as believers. We're totally dependent upon the Lord for everything. There's nothing that we can do in ourselves. It's completely dependent. A sheep is a picture of ownership. You think of a sheep, a general doesn't go out and buy his soldiers. A king doesn't go out and buy his subjects. But a shepherd oftentimes will have to go out and buy the sheep to start his flock. As we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, He purchased our salvation there at Calvary. And so the sheep, it's a thing of ownership. And as David sang, the Lord is my shepherd. He owns me. I'm his. A lot of times I believe we as Christians begin to forget that. We kind of want to take our lives for ourselves and tend to forget the fact that he has claim on us, that he has an ownership claim to us and to our lives. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. What all I believe he was thinking as he thought of this, the creator of the universe is my shepherd. He's interested in me. I was reading some interesting things recently about some various things in nature. Trees. In the fall, when trees are about to lose their leaves, it said that they sort of form a little scab between the leaf and the branch. Because if they didn't, when the leaf falls off, then the tree would continue to lose its sap, and the tree would die. To think that the creator of the universe was interested enough in that tree to make a way so that the tree could live for the next spring. Or you take a bird, take the woodpecker. You know, if the woodpecker knocks a hole in the side of the tree, you'll wonder why they didn't knock herself silly. Well, it's because that God, in his infinite wisdom, placed a sort of a cushion in the head of the woodpecker. So even though as fast as its head is going back and forth, it's cushioned from the blows. And yet, the very same God that's interested in the woodpecker, the very same God that was interested in the tree, is far more interested in every one of us as individuals because he was willing to send his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. We can look out into the sky at night and see all the heavenly bodies. We're told that there are at least, I'm not sure, but it's 625 with 14 zeros after it. And we can't even begin to see the farthest away with the most powerful telescope that we have. We think of in this world alone, there are 3 billion people. And yet, as an individual, the Lord is my shepherd. He's interested in me. I belong to him, and every aspect of my life should reflect this. I should be willing to yield everything to him. I should be willing to say, Lord, here's my time. Take it. Use it for yourself. I wonder if we sit down and look at a week, a span of a week, at all the time that we use in a week, and say, now how much of that time was used for the Lord, and how much of that time was used for myself? And then I think of the fact that we are owned by him. Maybe we should start giving him a little more of our time. Our wealth, our family, our job, our talents that we have, all these things should be yielded to his control and for his use. And David is able to say, this one is my shepherd. I trust that this morning all of us here can really echo what David said. In fact, as well as in actuality, because he is our shepherd if we're a Christian, but a lot of times we know him as our shepherd, but don't yield our lives to him, and don't let him have that shepherding control over us. And so we should be willing to say as David did, the Lord is my shepherd. And then David says, I shall not want. I shall not want. I think there are two aspects that we see in this verse here. I shall not want. First, and I shall not want, we see an action of not lacking. We don't lack anything of his care. He gives his sheep the complete and proper care. And that's what a good shepherd does. He takes complete care of the sheep. He makes sure that the sheep are clean. He makes sure the sheep are fed. That they have protection from all the elements of the weather. He takes proper care of the sheep. And doesn't the Lord do the same thing for us? We have no lack. He meets our every provision. He doesn't say that he will always meet our everything we want, that he will give us every single thing that we want. That's not what the thought here is. It's a thought of not lacking. You know, there's a lot of times today a thought going around this world that all Christians should be very well off, materially wealthy. And you see this on a lot of religious television programs, that all Christians should be rich. But I don't see that anywhere really in the Word of God. I see the principle that he says, I shall not lie. No matter what, he'll watch over it and will protect it. And then, not only does it give an aspect of not lacking, but David says, I shall not want. David's saying, well, I'm content with what I have. I'm content with what the shepherd has given me. I don't lack anything, and I'm content in it. A lot of times we as Christians become discontented, but the Lord says to be content. To be content in all that he's done for us. We're tempted to want the best of both worlds. We look at the spiritual realm and we see the physical realm. And too often we're tempted to want the best of both. But the Apostle Paul, back in the 4th chapter of Philippians, says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatever state I am, and this to be content. Paul says, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul says, I'm content. Be content in the things that the Lord has given us. And so David realizes that he has a wonderful shepherd. He realizes that the shepherd will not leave him lacking, and he is content in it. Then he goes on to verse 2, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Or if we think of the sheep lying down in green pastures, this is a testimony to the persuasion of the shepherd. Because here's all this green grass around them. And the shepherd's able to get the sheep to lay down and rest. And you might say, well, why would the sheep want to lay down when they're in green pastures? And that's probably one of the hard things the sheep have. Because when they get to a pasture, they want to eat and eat and eat. If the shepherd knows that later on in the afternoon they'll be climbing a mountain, maybe there'll be dangerous cliffs on each side, he knows how important it is that the sheep have this rest before they begin this dangerous journey. And so the shepherd makes them lay down in green pastures. You know, sometimes the Lord has to make us lay down to rest, doesn't he? You know, we live in a world that's busy, busy, busy. Everything is fast-paced. And a lot of times we don't take that time that we need to get apart with the Lord for the rest that we need. And sometimes he has to make us lie down and rest. Sometimes it may be even for a long period of time. I know about 5 years ago, I spent about 5 days in the hospital when I had a reaction to medicine I was taking. And you certainly have much time to be in the Word when you're flat on your back with nothing else to do all day long. And so sometimes the Lord has to make us lay down and rest, the rest that we need. How important it is that we get aside just a little bit of time every day to rest in the Word and in the Lord. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And then also along that line, as the sheep come to the heat of the day, the shepherd knows that if they continue to eat that grass, they'll lose their strength. They might be eating the grass, but they won't be getting much strength for it because they'll be just wasting away the energy as the sun boils down. And so he makes the sheep lie down for their own safety and their own protection. And back in Psalm chapter 46, he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. How we need to take that time to be still in him. Just to think upon him. To think upon the things of the Lord. We take sleep for our physical bodies. How much more we need to have that rest day by day for our spiritual body. And you know, in order to lay down in green pastures, the sheep needs to have four things. And these four things the shepherd provides. He needs to have complete freedom. First, he needs to have freedom from fear. You know, a shepherd can take the sheep out and put them in a fold and leave them there for the night, and maybe a wolf will come around. And the wolf will never get inside the fold, but all night long, the wolf might circle around the fold, trying to find a way in. And the sheep can sense that wolf out there, and they'll get scared, and maybe they'll begin to run around in the fold, to and fro, and knocking into each other. And some have even been known to die of heart attacks, sheep, because of the fear of that enemy that's on the outside. And so they need to be free from fear. And the good shepherd is the one that can be, that can instill that freedom of fear. Because the shepherd can come right into the middle of the flock. The wolf can still be out there. But when they sense that the shepherd is there, they're calm. They don't have this fear anymore. You know, back in Philippians again, Paul says, be anxious for nothing. We have a lot of fears that come our way. And even sometimes as Christians, we begin to look around at the world situation, a little fear might begin to creep into our heart. But he says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about what's going on in Afghanistan or Iran. I've got the situation under control. Don't worry about inflation, the shortage of gasoline. All these things are under his control. Be anxious for nothing, but keep our minds on the shepherd. And then in order to lay down and rest, the sheep need to be free from friction. You know, in a flock of sheep, we're told that there's much friction between the different sheep who want to be sort of a head sheep. And a lot of times, we as Christians have friction among ourselves, don't we? I think it seems like that we have more friction among us as Christians than we do with the unsaved. Maybe that's because we know as Christians we think, well, now he's a Christian, he should be perfect. Not thinking about the fact that the other person is looking at us and saying, if he's a Christian, he should be perfect. We want to see Christians be perfect. And so a lot of times it causes friction between us. I heard a brother the other day on WCRH giving an illustration about a lady that was saving a seat in church. And somebody came in and sat down in that seat that she was saving for. And she let the person know in no uncertain terms that that was something that they couldn't be forgiven for sitting down in that seat. Or what friction sometimes we see among believers. But you know, two sheep can be just fighting among themselves. Like everything, and all of a sudden the shepherd comes into the fold. What happens? Immediately, their eyes are turned to the shepherd. The friction is forgot about, and they gather around the shepherd. And couldn't this a lot of times prevent friction between us as believers if we keep our eyes on the shepherd? You know, the wise men were told in Matthew 3 that as they came to the place where the star stood, and they came to the house, when they saw the young child, they fell down and worshiped. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, when we keep our eyes on Him, that's how these differences that we have can be put aside, realizing that they're really nothing. That how unfortunate they are that we get caught up in these things, that we can be free from friction, we keep our eyes on Him. And then a third thing that they need to be free from is parasites. There are a lot of different kinds of parasites that will bother the sheep. We're told there's one particular fly called a nasal fly that will lay its eggs in the nostril of the sheep. And then when he's hatched, the larva will crawl around inside the sheep's head, and it can cause complete disturbance to the sheep. They will do anything. They'll knock their head against trees. They'll try and scrape their head against bushes to get rid of these things. And there's only seems to be only one thing that can cure it. The shepherd will take some kind of oil and will anoint the head of the sheep. And this either causes the flies to stay away from the sheep, or I'm not sure whether it does that or whether it kills them, but yet it keeps the sheep free from this parasite. And isn't this a picture of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes he's symbolized in Scripture as the oil. And he makes us realize the presence of the Lord. And all the annoyances that come about day by day can be put aside as, again, we look to the shepherd, the good shepherd. And then the last thing that the sheep need in order to lay down is freedom from hunger. Freedom from hunger. As we think about it, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. David lived in an arid land. David lived in a hot land. And green pastures just didn't come naturally around there. It took work by the shepherd in order to make these green pastures. A good shepherd oftentimes would have to go out and search for a place where he wanted a pasture. He'd have to go through and take out the rocks, pull up roots and weeds, and then he would plant seed and take care of it, and soon a lush green pasture would come up with sheep to feed the born. It took work by the shepherd. You know, this morning, as we close, isn't this a picture again of the Lord Jesus Christ? He saw that rocky, stony ground of our heart, and he tried to pull up those roots by implanting the word, the seed of his word. And in those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, one day that seed took root, and it grew and brought forth that lush green pasture of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful it is this morning to know that shepherd, the one who loves us, the one who watches over us and takes care of us, the one who makes those green pastures and does away with every irritation and every friction in order that we might lay down and rest in green pasture. Know there may be someone here this morning and your heart is still like that stony soil. You don't know the shepherd. You don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. This morning he's making it available for you to come and accept him today before it's eternally too late. You know, if you were out in a boat and a person fell in the water and they were yelling for help, and somebody came by with a life preserver and they were willing to throw it out to them, they might not say, well, I don't believe I want that kind of a life preserver. It's the wrong color. They would reach out and grab any life preserver that they could get because they were drowning. And yet so many people are on their way to a crisis of eternity and they're trying to make their own standards and their own way of how they want to get to heaven. Both by joining a church or doing good work or living the best life they can, they're trying to make their own standards for getting there. When the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The scripture tells us that God has provided a gift, a free gift, and all you have to do is reach out and accept that gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you're here this morning, if you ever trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, finally accept that gift today. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, and then you too can say as David did, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The one who's willing to take care of every situation wants to be your Savior this morning. He wants to be your shepherd. If there is someone here and you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, either I or any one of the brethren around will be glad to speak to you after the meeting. All you have to do is just come up to one of us and ask us, and we'll be glad to show you from God's Word how you can know your sins forgiven. If we think about the Good Shepherd, may we live our lives close to Him day by day. May He not only be our Shepherd in word, but may He be our Shepherd in action. So we'll say, Lord, here's my life. Take it. Use it for yourself. Shall we close with the word of prayer? Father, we just thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is willing to be our shepherd, the one who saw us as poor lost sinners, is willing to leave all the glories of heaven, come down here to this earth to go to the cross and die there for our sins. And Father, we just thank you this morning that we do have Him as our wonderful shepherd. May we live our lives in a way that reflects it day by day. And then, Father, we just pray, is there someone here today who hasn't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that right now, right where they sit, they would open their heart and ask Him to come in and take away their sins before it's eternally too late. So now we just give you all the praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen.